Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks for listening in to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. Glad you chose to spend your Tuesday here. I just want to let you know that there are archives of back shows on With Insights Radio, and there are a bunch of other great shows that other hosts do on the channel. I encourage you to check all those out. There's everything from working with tarot cards to crystals to angels to connecting with the artist in you. So it really covers a huge gamut of focuses that have to do with depth psychology, have to do with connecting with the deeper sense of yourself, the soul sense of yourself, and opening up your intuition so that you can live the life that you were meant to live. So I hope that you'll check out those archives, and I want to let you know what's coming up on Inner Voice in the near future. Let's see here. Next week, we will have Christiana Claudette on. She is going to talk about her book, Fortune Stellar, and I think there's a new book in the works as well. So she'll be telling you about that. And she works a lot with the four sacred elements in her use of the tarot. Not everyone does that, so I'm really excited to have her talk about that with us. And then on August 14th, Barbara Graver will be on. I was on Barbara's show a while ago, and she has a wonderful blog called The New Age Review. And I just encourage you to check out her blog. It's just a wonderful treatment of many subjects, kind of where the heart and the head kind of meld together. And that's what I really love about Barbara's work. So that's what we have coming up on Inner Voice in the very near future. And tonight, with no further ado, I want to introduce our guest, Samantha Heron. Samantha, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing, Samantha?
I'm just fine. How are you this evening?
Good, good. I'm getting a message that says that there's no sound. That's what I'm getting. So we'll have to see. Maybe we can just keep talking and see if it works itself out. And that's what we'll have to do, I guess. Is that okay with you?
That's fine. We'll do the best we can do, I guess.
Oh, good. The person who's listening, thank you so much, Jeannie Santorini, wherever you are, because he just posted that now it is working, the sound is working fine. So I'm so happy. Last week I was going to have a guest on, his name is C. Michael, and he has a shamanic center up in Michigan, and was so excited to have him on, and then had to just switch gears because and talk about the trickster archetype, because I could not hear him, he could not hear me, I didn't know if I could hear myself, and so we had just gone on a trip, and so trickster had showed up all over our trip, so I was just like, okay, we'll talk about trickster instead. So I'm so glad that we're not revisiting that energy, and that everybody out there can hear. So with no further ado, sorry about that long intro, but I want to ask you what it is you do. I know that you work with astrology, and we talked a little bit about how you do that. Can you just share that with the listening audience?
Well, for about the last 40 years, I have been working specifically with natal astrology. And for those who aren't at all familiar with astrology, natal astrology deals specifically with a person's birth date, time, and place. And using that information, a chart is cast, and an astrologer will interpret the energies that person wrapped themselves in order to walk their earth walk this time, based on where the planets are in the houses and the signs. And I've been working with that for almost 40 years now.
Oh, wow. Awesome. And I know that you talked about how kind of I read in your bio that you sent that it kind of found you and that you've developed it over time and really honed in on how to work with it, work with the natal chart. And would you say that that this work found you or that you kind of opened and found it? How would you describe that process?
Oh, My whole life is a find the mysterious or have the mysterious find me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a mutual meeting. I've always found everything that is off the beaten path to be very interesting. And so at a very early age, I took an interest in astrology. And in my 20s, I was fortunate enough to meet a man who did astrology charts. It was more of a hobby than a career for him. He was a musician. And he showed me how to create the chart, and it is a work of mathematics and astronomy. And that was before computers. So I have been doing charts by hand without the use of a computer program for almost the whole 40 years. So it's been a real interesting walk for me with astrology by my side all these years.
Awesome, awesome. And would you say that you look at the astrological chart from the perspective of you're talking about mathematics and figuring it out mathematically? Do you also add your own intuitive slant to it, or do you just stay more in the science realm of it? Do you kind of combine the two, or how do you talk about that? How do you see that?
When you really get into astrology, especially as long as I've been into it, it's kind of all-encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a science and it is an art. It takes science and mathematics to create it, but it takes intuition and a look not only at the intuitional but the spiritual side of things in order to really be able to counsel somebody on what the information is.
Wonderful. I think it's so cool that you say counsel people on the information, on what the information is, because I know some people just present the chart, and it's nice that you're able to take it and use it as a tool to go further. That's really cool.
Well, the truth of the matter is that I've felt a great frustration over the years because of the fact that many people do just create the chart and give it to somebody and they don't interpret it. And because of that, people really feel like astrology, we're still back in the 70s where what's my sign and it's a game and it's a conversation for a cocktail party or whatever. And it's really so much more. It is a tool to understanding yourself and your path in this incarnation and what your purpose is and the energies that you gave yourself to work with. So any astrologer who really knows his or her stuff is going to sit you down and say to you, now we need to talk about what all this is.
That's great. That's awesome. Well, I know that I felt so lucky to have you want to share some of my aspects or chart with me, and I just think that's such a gift. So I wanted to ask you more about that and maybe do a little with that.
Okay. The three major things that the three major energies in anybody's chart is their sun sign, their moon sign, and something called the ascendant or rising sign. And the ascendant or rising sign is the sign that the sun was in at the precise hour that you were born. In the course of a day, the sun goes through each sign every 2 hours. And so if you were born like at sunrise, your ascendant and your sun sign would be the same because the sun for the month would be in that sign, and the sign for the hour would be that sign. Now, you happen to have been born, I hope you don't mind me telling anybody.
No, not at all.
At 9:26 p.m., which, and you were born on August the 6th. So that gives you a Leo sun with a Pisces rising, and you have an Aries moon. You got a lot of fire, girl. You should have a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah, true.
That Pisces rising also gives you a lot of insight and a great, association with your intuition. You feel totally at home with it. And
more at home there than anywhere else.
I would imagine, yeah, I really would. The combination of the Leo sun and the Pisces rising, the only drawback to that is that sometimes it will cause your determination to become confused. Pisces has a habit of wanting to go in both directions at the same time. And it takes your Leo sometimes to help you decide which way it is that you need to go.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah. The other thing that I found interesting, and something that most people probably don't know, is sometimes in a person's chart, a planet will be in another planet's sign, and that planet will be in that planet's sign, and that's called mutual reception. And mutual reception often affords us some protection from ourselves and going to extremes. In your chart, you have your moon in Aries, but you have Mars, which rules Aries, in the moon sign of Pisces. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about that is that it helps to stabilize the energy of both those planets. And this brings lessons in emotional balance. And when you get unbalanced emotionally, it has a real effect on your health, physical health.
Yes, absolutely true.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say I probably don't have any real physical health problems, that most of the ones that I have, when they pop up, have to do specifically with emotional issues. I mean, just again and again and again. And the reverse is true, that when I'm really, really happy and inspired and doing my work and that sort of thing, any physical manifestations that I have totally go away. So it's absolutely true.
You gave yourself that energy specifically so that you would learn the lesson of emotional balance. And it sounds to me like you have really caught on to it, and you've nailed it down, and you're going, I get this one. I've got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's totally true. It's totally true. Yeah, absolutely.
Something else that sometimes people don't understand is about retrograde planets. And a retrograde planet is the illusionary backward motion of a planet in the sky. No planet actually moves backwards. They're all moving the same direction at the same time. But because of the Earth's path, sometimes they look like they're moving backwards. And for a lot of astrologers, they see retrograde planets as opportunities to work on past life energy. Because when when a planet is retrograde, that means the energy is coming back towards you. So when an astrologer sees that in a natal chart, it usually indicates a specific karma that the person came in to work on in this lifetime. Now, for you, you have two retrograde planets. One is Mercury, and it's in Leo, and the other is Saturn in Pisces. Mercury, anytime it's retrograde, has to do with communications. So it being in Leo, it's an excellent position for Mercury, because Mercury rules the mind while Leo rules the heart. So it's really an unbeatable combination for being able to work with the head and the heart at the same time. The retrograde part is a lesson that you are trying to teach yourself from the past about getting ahead of yourself, trying to solve tomorrow's problems today.
Yep.
totally
true.
There is an asset to that. And the asset is that you are able to evaluate the totality of a situation that others may only get a glimpse of. I mean, you're able to look at a situation and you got it. You understand the whole situation.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's the good piece of what you've brought from past life. Okay? The fact that this Mercury retrograde in Leo is in the fifth house only shows that one of the lessons that you're trying to learn is focusing your mental energy. You're learning how to make the mental plane productive for you creatively. And from what I've seen, of all the different things that you do, I think you're getting that lesson too. I think you pretty much got that one under control.
Well, thank you.
Now the Saturn retrograde in Pisces, it's kind of a difficult placement. Saturn's considered a karmic planet, and Pisces is considered a karmic sign. And since it's retrograde, that gives you triple karma on this one. So this is a really heavy lesson that you've come in to learn, to take care of. It says one of the things is getting trapped in memories of the past.
Boy, yeah, I think that's the truth. Especially right now. The last 2 weeks, last week and a half, 2 weeks, just really.
The thing about it is, though, on the flip side of that, it has given you the tools of emotional understanding and humility, and also the ability for deep meditation, so that when you get in these periods where past memories are trying to grab a hold of you and hold you back, you can use these tools to go in there and help yourself let go of it in order to move forward. It's a very, very, how do I say it, powerful placement. It has a great deal of meaning.
I've had to be very conscious of that recently, like be very conscious of where I am energetically inside and work really hard to move out of those places and remind myself that I have the capacity to do that. So that's absolutely going on for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the other things, because this is in your first house, it shows that sometimes there are barriers between you and those you'd like to be close to. And that's a past life energy. Because in the past life, you didn't have a very flexible personality. And because of that, your lesson this time is to develop a personality that's balanced, where when you're serious, you need to also learn to be humorous. When you're happy, you also need to learn sadness and just learn to be really flexible in your personality. And that's the reason why you decided on this placement and this energy, so that you could work with that.
Yeah, that absolutely fits. I think that the karmic piece that you're talking about, or sometimes the family piece, you know, when you go back into memories and that sort of thing, it's easy to get stuck in that place of protecting yourself and that sort of thing. Yeah, absolutely. I think that all of the work that I do is about becoming more flexible. I do intuitive counseling work. And when I'm in the room with a client, I have to be flexible and I have to be present for them no matter what's going on in my own life, you know. So absolutely. And the work draws me back to that need to be flexible and that need to be present and all of that. So absolutely.
Well, that brings me to something that I put in the charts. Not every astrologer does, but I put in what's called the part of fortune. And the part of fortune is one of, I think, about 22 or 24 Arabian parts. It comes out of Arabian astrology. And the part of fortune is a placement that shows where you will find your most success and what brings you the most joy. And in my opinion, and it's purely my opinion, but anybody who has an astrology chart done really needs to have it done by somebody who can place that for them, because it's a very good piece of information to have. You have yours. Your part of fortune is in Scorpio, in your eighth house. And your greatest joy has to do with regeneration, both physical and spiritual. It attunes you with your own and with society's unconscious thought and thought levels. And you like to play an active role towards building a world which is secure and peaceful through people being more in touch with the source of all life. And you're happiest when you're able to enlighten others and show them new paths that maybe they were kind of resistant or afraid to consider. So that falls totally in line with you doing intuitional counseling. It just absolutely fits perfectly.
Well, and I studied depth psychology, which is all about that going back and connecting with the source of the self in each person and how that's different for each person and how what helps them grow is different for each person. So, like, I really think that that's really accurate.
Absolutely.
I love getting feedback from people when they say, oh, that absolutely makes any sense, because I do these charts, and most of the time I don't know the person at all. I mean, you and I have talked on Facebook, but I've never met you. And most of the clients that I do, I have never physically met when I do the chart. And to have them say to me, oh, my, you hit me so right on. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're everything that you've said has been totally accurate. I mean, there's not anything that's not accurate, and it's very accurate to who I am. So, yeah, absolutely.
One of the last things that I wanted to bring up, and I've been touching on, I mean, I could have gone through the planets, but everybody, you know, most everybody is familiar with, you were born with certain planets and certain signs. These little extra things I've been talking about, which I consider very important in the chart, oftentimes people aren't aware of. For example, the nodes of the moon. There are two nodes of the moon, the north and the south nodes. And in an astrology chart, these have to do with reincarnation and karma. And they reveal the track the soul is running in this life and shows what energy you're supposed to be moving towards in order to help you in this life and what the past life energy is that you should be moving away from. And it's very interesting because although it's in different houses, you and I have the same nodes of the moon.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Your north node and mine is in Taurus, and your south node and mine is in Scorpio. It's very interesting because one of the first lines out of the meaning of this is some of the most difficult karmic lessons that there is in the zodiac. And I thought, that fits me. I wonder if it fits her. The past lives are strewn with endings, and that has to do with Scorpio and its planet Pluto in the process of transformation. So we've been going through transformations like crazy throughout this past life.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
In actuality, it some books even talk about going through the fires of, and I hope I can say this on the air, hell. to burn away false values. So,
oh boy.
Yeah. So we've been burning away those false values, but now it's time to use the Taurus, the sturdy earth sign Taurus, to build new values that are better than the ones we had before. We've gotten rid of the garbage, and now it's something to build. Now it's time to build something sturdy and reliable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Taurus energies are for. One of the problems with your North Node being in your second house is that there are secrets from your past life that your subconscious is still guarding very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember correctly, when we were talking about, I think it was Saturn, and I said there's a barrier between you and other people. Part of that barrier is your subconscious being fearful of other people unlocking your secret doors. And
what do you mean when you say secret doors? I mean, can you say a little bit more about that?
I'm sorry, say that again.
What do you mean when you say secret doors? Can you say a little more about that?
Okay. Well, you know and I know that the subconscious remembers everything, even though we don't consciously remember everything. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, subconscious creates doors to keep secrets,
mm-hmm.
to protect us, supposedly.
From ourselves, from parts
right.
of ourselves. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the subconscious, and your subconscious in this case, whatever the secrets are, it thinks it's protecting you, so it creates a block so that you don't go this direction or that direction for fear that if you do, you might open a door that it doesn't want you to open.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can relate to that, actually, at this point in my life. Absolutely. That's accurate.
So when you run into those stumbling blocks and you're going, why the heck do I keep hitting a brick wall? Ask yourself, is this my subconscious telling me that I shouldn't go that way for my own safety right now?
Yeah. And that's interesting because I think, and I don't know that much about astrology myself, but I think that sometimes the Aries moon has a tendency to make me want to start over in too big a way. You know what I mean? Like, I want to go back to the beginning and start fresh. And I know enough about myself that that isn't a good impulse of mine. I mean, it isn't an impulse that makes me safe. So I have to kind of scrap it and do something smaller because I have a tendency to just go hog wild and go, well, forget about this, I'm not doing this anymore, and just end up at square one, which is, I think, okay when you're younger, but when you get older, it isn't. You know, I mean, you have to have a sense of safety and support around you at the same time. So,
well, that only falls in line with what Aries represents. And, of course, the sign Aries begins with spring, and spring is when you plant new things.
Right.
So it is about beginnings, and you've got your moon is placed there. So it's, yeah, you're right.
Glad to hear that.
It is very much about your first emotional instinct would be to start over again emotionally.
Again.
And then we go back to your North Node in Taurus, which says, well, that's great, but we need to build a solid foundation here so you can't keep moving.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's some highlights out of your chart, and I found it to be very, very interesting. And I don't know if you and I had ever discussed it or not, but for people who don't know, The charts that I do, I put them in print. And it's not a computer program printout. This is something that I have put together over my 40 years of doing it. And most people's charts, when they're printed out, run somewhere between 75 and 95 pages of single-spaced print.
Wow, that's awesome.
Right. And the idea is to hand you a manual that you can look at and you can read and you can think about, and then you can come back and you can ask me questions, and we can start into the counseling session process from there.
Awesome, awesome. That's wonderful. It's wonderful that you offer that kind of connection with your clients and support. That's wonderful.
Well, I recognized a long time ago, my part of fortune is in Pisces in my first house, and that totally has to do with the spiritual. And anything that's connected to the spiritual and helping people connect to their spiritual side just thrills the heck out of me. It brings me so much joy.
That's wonderful. Very cool. Very cool. So I'm wondering, too, what you can tell folks about what's going on right now energetically. I know that I read your post, and I actually tried to retweet the post on your Maya page, and I could not figure out how to do it because, yes, you're right. The thinking part of the journey is not where my strength is, so I couldn't figure out how to do it. I was like, oh, forget this. But I did wonder, you were talking about how the moon goes void. Could you talk a little bit more about what that means?
Sure. Most people aren't aware of it, but there is a time period when the moon is moving between signs, and the moon changes signs about every 2.5 days, sometimes a little sooner and sometimes a little later. And when the moon goes void of course, that's the full term, void of course. And it's a time, kind of like a time of transition, when you should just kind of kick back and not be mundane and not worry about decisions and not get caught up in the material side of your life, but just kind of let life flow and try to focus inward and on spiritual things, and just wait until the moon shifts into the next sign before you try to make any decisions or start any new projects or anything like that. It's kind of like this is a terrible analogy, but it's the only one that comes to mind. You just got off of one bus and you're waiting for the other bus to come along, so you're just kind of sitting on the bench at the bus stop, just kind of taking a breath and waiting until the next bus comes along and you can get on and continue your journey.
And, awesome. And how long? Oh, go on. Sorry.
No, that's okay. And most of the time, it can be anywhere. Moon void, of course, can be anywhere from a couple of minutes to a full day.
Okay. So it's just one day we have to stop, right?
Sometimes.
Okay.
I believe this one just went. It just went void, of course, at 7:30, and it will be void until almost 6 o'clock tomorrow morning when the moon goes into Aquarius. And those are little respite times, and people really should take advantage of them and, you know, take a deep breath and ground and center and say, okay, you know, anything that I've got to do can't possibly be so important that I can't take this little respite and clear my head before I decide what it is I need to do next.
Wonderful. That's awesome. That's great information, and I'm sure we'll all take it in. I know I will. Because I've been, like, trying to get so much done today, and, yeah, my inclination is to just keep working, and so I won't.
Just
mellow out.
Take a moment to take a deep breath and ground and center and clear your head and say, okay, now I can do this. And if the moon is still void, don't make any major decisions. Don't start any major projects because that it actually is a void. And the lack of a particular energy will cause a lot of frustration and a lot of false starts and misdirection and misjudgments. So it's better just to wait until the moon moves into the next sign before you, you know, you do anything of great importance.
Awesome, awesome. I do have a question. Someone is asking a question in the chat room. Would you mind answering a question from someone?
Okay.
Is this person is saying putting our precious stones outside at this moon node, is it good or not?
I don't believe that void of course, it being a full moon tonight, mm-hmm. I don't believe that void of course is going to bother it, because you're talking about the actual astronomical energy as opposed to the astrological energy. And so putting stones out during a full moon is a very good thing to do. It charges
mm-hmm.
them up and purifies them really well.
Sure. Awesome. But during this time where the moon is void and we're kind of waiting at the bus stop, it doesn't, I think I'm hearing you say, it doesn't matter one way or the other. Right?
No, it does. Right. It really doesn't.
Okay.
Because you're, here again, this is, you know, you're talking about the full moon. There's a lot of energy there. You're not talking about decision-making. You're not talking about you personally starting a new project. This is talking about a different kind of energy, different kind of use of that energy, and so there shouldn't be any problem with putting them out there.
Okay, awesome. Well, I have a question, and I've just been kind of thinking about this a lot recently. I know that sometimes people use their astrological charts, and you'll probably think this question is funny, but I don't know what you'll think, but they sometimes use their astrological charts as, it seems to me sometimes they'll say, oh, well, I'm just doing this because of this, you know, and so instead of, really using the energy to move forward, they kind of use it as, well, you know, as a way to buffer where they are. And I'm wondering what you have to say about energetically how to work with kind of the more evolved energy, or the energy where it's more about what you're growing toward or moving toward or expanding toward. Does that make sense?
I think I understand what you're asking. Let's face it. You know, no offense to anybody out there, but you can use any tool to hold yourself in a holding pattern if you really want to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One's natal astrology chart, the purpose of it is to give you a bearing as to the energies that you came in with, to work through lessons, to resolve your plan that you mm-hmm. made coming in. How do I want to say this? It's not predestined. All it is telling you the tools that you have to work with. It's
mm-hmm.
not giving you, you can use them as excuses, but it's not there to give you an excuse. It's there to give you the tools that you need to understand you from a spiritual
mm-hmm.
viewpoint, and what you came in to resolve, work through, and learn. And
mm-hmm.
that's what the astrology chart, a natal astrology chart, really is about. A lot of people fear them because they think it's predestination, and
mm-hmm.
they look at it that way. And like when I said to you, you know, there's your Saturn retrograde says that there's barriers between you and other people. You could say, oh, woe is me, you know, I guess I'm always going to be separated from other people. Or you could say, there's a barrier there. I need to find out how to work through that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, coming from the spiritual path that I do, we recognize that all energy is neutral. It's how you use it.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing holds true for an astrology chart. You can use it to hold yourself back, or you can use it to understand yourself and move yourself forward.
Mm-hmm,
it's entirely
mm-hmm.
up to you.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. That's awesome. Cool. That's really good advice, I think. What else did I want to ask? Well, what else do you want to share? We've just got about 15 more minutes, so I want to make sure you're able to share everything that you want to share.
I think one of the things is that I know I've said this already, but I really want people to understand that if they're on a spiritual quest to understand themselves or to get a better understanding of what they're doing here at this point in time and what their purpose is, they can't find a better tool than having a natal astrology chart done by someone who will sit down and work with them through it so that they understand these energies. It's been a great frustration for me all these years because there's so many misconceptions about what astrology is. And the reality of it is it's a great spiritual and psychological tool if people will be willing to avail themselves of it. And although I welcome all the people who would want to have me do a chart, just find a good astrologer. And there are more than just me. Good Lord, I'm not the only one. But find a good one, one who is, you know, who is going to say to you, let's do your chart and let's sit down and talk about it. Let
exactly.
me understand you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that piece is so important because it's such a large, can be a really wieldy system, and it's pretty mathematical. It has to do with geometry and all that. And so people can steer clear of it or vice versa, just like open up the paper and, you know, read the script for Leo or read the script for Scorpio and not get a deep enough interpretation because they're just looking at one of the planets and not as a composite.
Right.
So I think that's wonderful that to have a guide on the journey to understanding who you are.
It really is. It's I hesitate to use this word because we are not accredited therapists, but it is a type of therapy. It's a spiritual therapy because you get a better understanding of who you are. You begin to understand why certain situations and certain times of the year bother you or elate you. You really begin to understand how to work with the energies, not only the astrological energies, but the energies of other people around you and places, you know, where you work or your family or your home. It all starts to, the light bulbs start to come on, and you begin to understand why you react the way you do and the work that you have to do. So I really encourage people, especially the time period that we are in right now. Everybody talks about December 21st, 2012, and there's all kinds of concepts about what that means. My personal feeling is it's an awakening for as many people as are willing to awaken. When that sun rebirths itself at Yule, on December 21st, we all have an opportunity to spiritually and energetically raise ourselves and become more aware. And an astrology chart is a tool. It's like having an atlas of the path you have chosen for this lifetime. And what better way to understand what this Yule, this December 21st, will mean to you than to understand yourself?
Awesome. I do have a question. I've been thinking about this a lot, and I guess it's the perfect time to ask, and it may be kind of out of some, you know, I don't know, out of the normal arena, but I've noticed energetically that when Capricorn is, and I have no idea why this is because I don't think that I have this in my chart at all, but when Capricorn is active, either in the moon or the sun, I am totally motivated. Like, I can almost clock it. I can almost say, must be Capricorn, because I'm like, okay, I've got to do this, and my energy is really motivated and wonderful and, you know, alive and all of that. And I just wonder what that might be about.
It could be because you have three planets in its opposite sign, Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You have Venus, Mars, and Jupiter all in Cancer. Venus has to do with your love nature. Mars has to do with your aggression, assertion, and temper. And Jupiter has to do with philosophical, higher mind, spiritual. So those are, you're pretty much activating all three major areas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
A lot of times we are motivated by the opposite energy.
I can definitely relate to that idea. That's been a pattern for sure. Yeah. I wonder if maybe that Scorpio doesn't make it so that, you know, that you're drawn toward opposite energies. Because when I think about, like, a death-rebirth cycle, I think about kind of having to go to the ends of two different, the spectrum in two different to do two different ends and find the middle, you know what I mean? But only by going to the extremes. Do you know what I'm saying?
A little bit. Well, the other thing I was going to ask you was when you said that Capricorn, you know, you can really tell when it's in Capricorn. I was going to ask you if it did that in any of the other Earth signs, like if it activated in Taurus or...
No.
Okay.
No, just Capricorn.
Okay. Okay. The reason I asked you that was because of that north node you have in Taurus, which is also an Earth sign like Capricorn. So I would have to dig deeper and take a greater look. But see, Scorpio is opposite of Taurus.
Okay.
So that's the reason I was wondering, you know, if when the moon is in Taurus or the sun is in Taurus, if you had the same reaction.
No,
evidently not. Okay. But that balance point, that very well could be your Pisces rising.
Oh, okay. Awesome. That's interesting and helpful.
Yeah, because one of the things I remembered when I was looking up information about your Pisces rising was the fact that because the fish swim in two different directions and you're often pulled in two different directions, that there are times when you have to take a breath and let your intuition say, okay, this is the direction you need to go.
Yes, lead. Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely true. Yeah.
So that may be what you were thinking when you said, I have to go to two different extremes and then find the middle point.
Yeah.
It may be your intuition saying, okay, you want to go that way and you want to go that way, but actually we need to go this way.
Right. Exactly. That's awesome. That's really, really cool. Yeah. I just think what you're doing with the astrological counseling is wonderful. You know, I think that, you know, it's wonderful to have this wonderful, elegant, mathematical and artistic system that helps people understand themselves better. But then it's so wonderful to have a guide to work with energetically to understand how all of that works for the individual. I just think that's really nice.
Well, it's very important, and I think it's something that's been very missing for a long time. And like I said, I know that there are other astrologers out there who do it, but we've gotten so into the computerized age where people just put out charts.
Yeah.
That people, you know, I did a chart just recently for a gal who had a printout done, and she said, it was wonderful that my friend did this for me. She says, but I have no idea what it means.
Right, exactly.
So she had me do it for her, and I sent her her little booklet, and we've talked about it. And she, you know, she's coming to understand that not that time was wasted, but that it would have really been nice if she would have had the explanation a long time ago.
Yeah, it's like, then you are able to normalize certain things that have happened to you or certain trends or patterns in your life. So instead of seeing yourself as so weird or odd or off, you say, no, that makes sense, you know, because I can see this here and I can see how it shows up again and again and again.
Yeah, and it makes you realize that this is all part and parcel of the path that you chose to walk in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, some of us did come to unlearn things, and some of us did come to learn things, and some of us came to do both. So it's good to be able to see the energies that you gave yourself as tools in order to accomplish these things. One other thing I want to throw in real quick is a lot of people, I get a lot of questions from people about doing what they call progress charts. And a progress chart, what that is like, okay, a natal chart is from the time, birth time, date you were born. On a progress chart is brought up to your current year. And although I know how to do them, I tell people, you know, if you really don't have a good understanding of what you birthed yourself into and who you are and why you came, why are you worried about a progress chart?
Sure. But you have to do one before you do the other.
Without laying the foundation, the progress chart, it becomes a piece of fortune telling.
Sure, that makes total sense. I think of it in terms of, you know, a counseling modality that you have to deal with what you're holding on to. You have to deal with grief. You have to deal with pain before you can move into the place, you know, some people do anyway, before you can move into the place of what you're here to do next. You know, you can't just ignore that piece entirely. You have to deal with it on some level. So I think of it as similarly, you know.
The other thing, too, is a lot of people do not recognize all the abilities and talents that they have. And by doing your natal astrology chart, you begin to recognize. There are times when I've had artistic ability pop up in somebody's chart so many times that it was almost on every page. And they'll say, well, I'm not, you know, I don't have that talent. And yes, you do. You've never used it.
Yeah, exactly. That's wonderful. Wow, that's awesome. Very cool. So we just have about 5 more minutes, but if there's anything else that you wanted to share about the work that you do or anything that seems really relevant right now, and then your information as well about how people can get a hold of you for the astrological counseling and charts, natal charts that you do, that would be great. This is the time.
Well, let me give you the information. Let's start there.
Sure.
People can reach me either at my website. They can check out the website, and that's at www.journeywithladymaya.wordpress.com. Or you can contact me by email at D as in David, U R, G as in George, A, that's Durga, 1974 at AOL.com. I prefer that we start with an email before I hand out my phone number to people, and I also don't right off the bat hand out my address either. So if you want to contact me, you can also contact me on, I have a Twitter account, which, geez, I don't remember what it is. I think it's Journey Maya, at Journey Maya. But contact me one of those ways first, and especially if you want information. The website will show you under services what the charts cost and give you information on what I need to know in order to do one for you. And so if people want to contact me, you know, by email first, and we can go from there.
Awesome. Very, very cool. Well, thanks so much for sharing the hour. It was really enlightening and insightful and wonderful. Thanks.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity, and I hope you and I get to talk more, especially about your chart.
I hope so, too. Take good care, Samantha.
All right, you too. Have
thanks
a good evening.
Thanks for being on Intervoice. Okay, you too. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Things were like poets that we never find time to know, but when time
if you're looking for a depth psychological treatment of and an intuitive treatment of the tarot and of other intuitive topics, check out innervoiceintuitive.com. Thanks so much for listening this evening. Thanks to our guest, Samantha. And whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, feel magic, create magic in your world, because that's what we're here for. Take care, everybody. Bye now.